Now, our story continues. Leroy Duval was something of a paradox, an enigma. He was an immaculate little man, a dandy without being conspicuous, a ruthless killer with the appearance of a weakling. He presented a bland face behind which lurked a mind trigger-quick and dangerous. His carefully cultivated, supercilious attitude disguised a feeling of inferiority that was at times, for him, unbearable. He could adopt the poise and mannerisms of a man of culture, yet his school had been the streets and alleys after night. He had really never been other than what he was now, a man unscrupulous and devoid of principle. And rarely was he without a ready answer, a quick solution. But Leroy Duval had hardly been prepared for Jonathan Smith's reply when, in Mr. Smith's luxurious office, Duval had said,
"Rollo looks to me like the Hegarty case. You need a scapegoat, Mr. Smith."
"That's exactly what I think, Duval. But I think you need one, too. And instead of a scapegoat, why not give them the guilty party?"
"What? You mean Walters?"
"Why not? He looks to me like the logical man. And it would spike this story of Ricky's that I'm connected with your nasty little racket."
"Just a moment, Mr. Smith. Stanley, it's just a little fast for me to understand, I'm afraid."
"Don't tell me you're the kind to stand on ethics, Duval. I know you too well for that."
"I might surprise you, Mr. Smith. You can be very sentimental at times, very loyal. Especially when my own people are concerned."
"Yes, but not when your own neck's in danger, Duval. It's not a good idea."
"Exactly what I was thinking, but I can't very well double-cross Stanley. I'd be putting my own neck in danger. Why, he'd blow the top off everything if we saw them down the river."
"Well, we can't let this drag into any lengthy investigation, Duval. It wouldn't be healthy for any of us. Get to be cleared up in a hurry, and that Scanlon kid packed off to the reform school."
"Yes, I agree with you, but double-crossing a man like Stanley Walters is hardly the way to hush it up."
"We'll never get it hushed up if we don't give them the man over, Ricky. That's what they want. Because they know getting a kid like Ricky won't put a stop to the racket. They're going to look for the man at the top, and that's you, Duval. Unless we can sell them Walters."
"That would be most agreeable with me, Mr. Smith, but I'm afraid not with Stanley. His Tennessee soul rebels at the thought of confinement."
"Maybe he'd feel differently if he's properly approached."
"Huh? What do you mean?"
"Well, you're responsible for getting me into this, Duval, and frankly, the thought of putting money on the line to save your neck sticks in my craw. But here's the idea. Walters already has been accused by the kid. Several people are inclined to believe it. Paul does, Miss Martin does, and so does Sheriff Ellis."
"See, not a very encouraging picture."
"Enough to cause plenty of trouble, Duval. I don't think any one of the three would rest until they get to the bottom of it. That means sooner or later they'll grab Walters, doesn't it?"
"Yes, very possible."
"And if they do, and Walters decides to talk, he could make things mighty uncomfortable for both of us."
"As my dear friend, Mrs. Hegarty, would say, Netch."
"What's that? Oh, look here, Duval. Don't take this too lightly."
"On the contrary, Mr. Smith. I'm deeply interested. Go on."
"If Walters could be convinced that he's out on a limb and sure to be caught up with anyway, he might be willing to take the rap if he knew it was going to be worth his while."
"Oh? Oh, I think I'm beginning to see the light, Mr. Smith."
"Now, whatever it costs you, Val, I'm willing to put up half of it. You the other half. It'll be up to you to sell the idea to Walters."
"Yes, but Stanley's price may run rather high."
"Well, you ought to be able to hold him down. Anything within reason, Duval, we'll have to pay it. But here's the angle that ought to make your bargaining pretty easy. It's not going to be long until I'm governor of this state, at which time I give my pledge that I'll have Walters paroled."
Well, excellent, excellent, Mr. Smith. Now I think we've got something to work on."
Now there's something else. I want to be the one to bring Walters in. I want full credit for getting him and getting his confession. That way it'll look better. And it won't do me any harm." "Well, Duval, what do you think?"
"Frankly, Mr. Smith, I think it's in the bag.
Meanwhile, as Jonathan Smith and Leroy Duval discussed their plans, Ricky Scanlon at the hospital had just completed his statement to Sheriff Ellis. Returning to his office from Ricky's room, Dr. Paul sees Virginia Martin in the corridor.
So, Miss Martin?
Yes, Dr. Barr.
Busy? Can you come in a minute?
Yes, I'm free for the moment.
Good. I wanted to tell you what happened. Ricky just completed his statement to the sheriff.
Oh, have they gone?
Yes, they just left. Sit down.
Thank you. Ricky's sister, Mrs. Haggerty, came a few minutes ago. I knew the officials were here, so I asked you to come back. It'll be all right for her to see him now, won't it, Dr. Bach?
Yes, I think so. Ricky can have whatever visitors the police will permit. But someone should remain in the room at all times. I thought Ricky was very impressive in making his confession to the sheriff. He handled himself nicely.
Oh, I'm glad. But I knew he would. Did he say anything about Mr. Smith?
No, not a word. Oh, I believe Ricky realizes now that was a wild idea. But I think he did convince Sheriff Ellis he was telling the truth about Pop Walters. As a matter of fact, the sheriff was suspicious of Walters anyway.
Will he be able to do anything?
That I don't know. Ricky doesn't know where Walters got the whiskey or how it was delivered to him. So they don't know how to get anything on the old boy. I suppose a lot depends on how cagey he is in the future.
Well, Ricky's voluntary confession, Dr. Bach, doesn't that mean he may not have to stand trial?
I think that's right, yes, Miss Martin. I should imagine he'll only have to appear for sentence.
Well, I think that'll be much easier for him. Surely they won't judge him too harshly. After all, his background, the way he became mixed up in this thing, coming back to town after they tried to kill him, and the voluntary confession, well, all those things should weigh heavily in his favor, don't you think?
Yes, but it'll take a lot to offset public opinion. People seem pretty indignant.
Mr. Smith's article in the paper this morning won't help, I'm afraid.
No, that's true. I wish Jonathan would stop sounding off so much. He's definitely after that boy's blood. There's no question that he's given the thing more notoriety than it deserves. That's why the people are so aroused. He's got them that way.
But it seems almost like a personal thing with him, Doctor.
Yes, I know. I don't know what to make of Jonathan. He's too big to capitalize on this affair at the expense of a boy like Ricky. Perhaps he doesn't realize it, but he's gone overboard with his public-spirited attitude. It almost seems he's not as interested in making an example of Ricky as he is in demonstrating what the people can expect of him if he's elected governor.
Yes.
I wonder if I could talk to him again. I don't think he'd listen to me.
But the idea of a boy like Ricky going to the reform school, it just sickens me, Dr. Bach. I know that so much could be accomplished with Ricky. He has such a good mind, he's serious. He has so much character. What will that environment do to him?
I don't know. It can't be very healthy. Although Ricky isn't impressionable, he has a mind of his own.
Yes, but he's always been so bitter. Now, this should... Oh, I just can't think about it. And there's Donna, too, Dr. Bach. She has so much faith in him, and they feel so strongly about each other. How will it affect her?
I wonder. Have you talked to Johnny?
No, not recently. I've been so busy, and... Well, Doctor, Johnny's rather cool.
Still upset because you asked him to let Donna stay longer?
Well, I suppose he still blames me. I'm sorry. I wouldn't have hurt Johnny for the world.
No, of course not. But he hasn't sent her away yet?
No.
Well, that's rather significant. I don't think Johnny blames you so much. Perhaps he's just a little ashamed of himself.
Well, why?
For taking the attitude he did with you. I had quite a talk with Johnny myself. I think he realizes now he wasn't too constructive in his handling of Donna's problem. But I'm afraid he still feels about as strongly as ever against Ricky.
Yes, I'm sure he does. If people could only be more understanding, Dr. Bach, have more feeling. If only some person of standing here in Elkhorn City, someone of importance and influence, would just assume the responsibility for Ricky. Dr. Bach, if only I could.
Yes, I know how you feel. Well, that's what the boy needs. But maybe something can be done. I have an idea in my own mind about that.
Dr. Paul looked at the tall, attractive young nurse, the distress she felt for Ricky evident in her face. It was like her, he thought, to be so concerned. This girl who gave of herself so freely, whose greatest interest seemed to be in helping others. But Dr. Paul offered no explanation for the idea he had in mind about Ricky. Whatever it was, for the moment, he seemed content to keep it to himself.